America Ministries, P.O. Box 7, 0879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Don't forget that fact sheet, a portrait of the Black Bentley, right on our website, saveus.org.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king, but in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of John Quirk, who's a friend who spent almost 30 years working with the CIA. He's recently been over in Turkey, and he's going to be returning there very soon to establish an institute where they're going to be doing a lot of teaching and of course, instructing the people over there on world events. But John's good enough to be with us. He was here this afternoon. He's going to be here with us again this evening. And we're going to be with John in just a moment. But I wanted to comment. Those of you who heard the recent news on Salem Radio, basically they were talking about the fact that the Obama administration is asking, the Justice Department is asking the courts, the Supreme Court, to find that there's certainly laws outlawing homosexual marriage are wrong. In other words, homosexual marriage is right. We should stop discriminating against it. And yet, of course, God in the Bible says that homosexual marriage is wrong and that homosexuality is wrong. Sex outside of marriage is wrong. It's all promiscuous and it's in violation of God's law. But everything going on today, almost as if an organized effort to flaunt God, to turn our back on God, and to simply do away with his teachings. We will not allow God to be mentioned in our schools. We will not allow the Ten Commandments or prayer in our schools. We won't allow Christmas plays in our schools or Easter plays in our schools. We did that when I was growing up, but no longer. And now, of course, the world is moving towards a financial climax. There's uncertainty, threats of war in the Near East, in the Middle East. America, I believe, is on the edge of a serious financial contraction, as we certainly see this going on in Europe today. And what part does God play in all of this? Well, that's something you're going to have to contemplate. But I believe that when a nation turns its back on God, God certainly withdraws his protection from that nation. But that is a background. John Quirk, thank you so very much for being with us today. John, are you there?
Always a pleasure.
Oh, well, John, why don't you just tell us your take on what's going on in the Near East there and certainly what's happening as far as Israel is concerned, Syria, the threat of chemical weapons. You just go right ahead.
Well, for the last year I've been in Turkey. I've been teaching at Istanbul Commerce University, and I'll be moving there March 17th for my family. Turkey is probably the most important country to the United States today, and it's certainly the most important country in the region. Our relations with Turkey haven't always been smooth, but for a long time, they've been a NATO ally, and certainly with Mr. Obama, who's making a lot of changes, not only, as you mentioned, domestically with religion and gay rights and what appears to be his national security policy of moving into, you know, what political scientists would refer to as soft power. Turkey is a key conduit for it. What it's all about is, with Turkey, is that the Obama administration sees Turkey as a democratic Islamic country that can help us with the chaos that's going on with the Arab Spring and the potential problems, especially this year, that we see in Syria, Iran, and with Israel. So Turkey is kind of the name of the game, and the Turks know that right now they can basically write their own ticket with the United States.
And basically, of course, remember, Turkey was once the Ottoman Empire, the source of the Ottoman Empire, the center of the Ottoman Empire. And in some respects, it's almost as if we're reconstituting the Ottoman Empire today. We'll be back in just a moment.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
You may have heard about the 90 essential nutrients or the Mighty 90 needed for good health. But with all the products out there, what exactly are they talking about? The Mighty 90 is 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 60 plant-derived minerals, and 2 essential fatty acids. So, now you know. But with all the products you see and hear advertised, what exactly do you buy to come up with the Mighty 90 and the right ratios to promote good health? Youngevity has made it easy with the Healthy Start Pack, which contains one canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Vitamin and Plant-Derived Mineral Complex, one bottle of Bone and Joint Enriching OsteoFX Plus, and one bottle of EFA Plus Essential Fatty Acids, all in the proper ratios to promote good health and vitality. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly John Quirk, our guest, and he's basically talking about turkey. Most people don't think much about turkey, and yet it is probably the key country in that whole region of the world, bridging the Arab and Muslim world with Europe. And basically, of course, Turkey had for so many years a secular government under Ataturk, and then, of course, the generals took over, and they had a secular country, and they were aligned with NATO, and they wanted to join the EU, but the Europeans didn't want them. And then, of course, now, there is, in 2002, they suddenly changed their leadership. Now they have a very, very strong leader who is increasingly moving Turkey back into the Muslim world. And, of course, it is John's contention that the United States hopes to work certainly with Turkey with the hope that they will be able to institute democracies all across the Near East and the Middle East. And, of course, what was once the Ottoman Empire, which went all the way down suddenly into Somalia and Ethiopia, went over into Azerbaijan and suddenly into all those countries, all those Stan countries that there in the adjacent to Russia. They were communist satellites, but they're all basically Muslim nations. They were all one time part of the Ottoman Empire. And it is John's contention that America, the Obama administration, hopes to be able to institute democracies in those countries. But John, certainly we've seen what happened to the democracy there in Egypt. They've established increasingly a strident Muslim Brotherhood state that does not allow any differentiation. The people who object to what's going on today are simply suddenly they come under tremendous pressure from the government. We've taken one dictator, Mubarak, and almost even though we've had an election there, it's like suddenly an election, one man, one vote, one time. I would think everybody would be concerned about what's happening in Egypt today, an increasingly Muslim Brotherhood nation under the guise of democracy. Freedom as we've known it, certainly even as the Egyptians knew before under Mubarak, it seems to be disappearing. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's amazing because there were many, many issues of contention between Turkey and the United States. There was the issue of Cyprus, where the United States placed an arms embargo on our own NATO ally. Armenian Americans in this country lobbied U.S. Congress against Turkey. We had the Kurds, who the United States supports in Iraq. Turkey was against us going into Iraq, and they refused $28 billion that we had offered them. They were still against us. They broke off with Israel over the ship incident. And there were a lot of different issues. You know, now the Turks are basically in the positive sights of America. They can get anything that they want. The United States has backed off of Armenian issues, Cypriot issues, and we've rather marginalized any rapprochement between Israel and Turkey in order to bend over backwards for the Turks. And it's unbelievable because the how things change. The United States sees Turkey as probably the most important country in the region. We've agreed with them on Syria. The Turks did not want us giving a lot of military aid to Syria. The Syrian opposition, we backed off of that. And they can write their own ticket in almost anything. We supported Greece, another NATO ally, and now we're kind of moving off of that position to please the Turks. And there's other issues. In Iraq, we support the Kurds. We support the Kurdish army. Former American military and current American military train the Kurdish army. And the Kurds in Kirkuk have their own little self-governing thing that the Iraqi government that we put in power is having trouble with the Kurds because the Kurds now ship all their oil to Turkey. Israel and Turkey are at odds over natural gas fields off the coast of Cyprus. And the United States is actually leaning towards Turkey. It's all about the soft power concept that Mr. Obama, his head of CIA, his head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the Clintons are advocating. And this is basically what it means. Instead of fighting in Afghanistan and fighting in Iraq, the United States is going to start being kinder to its enemies. And instead of dropping bombs, we're going to start dropping refrigerators and television sets. And Obama is starting to play with the idea, I think he has it all written down basically, to fund what he calls emerging Islamic democracies. And when that happens, and I'm talking after the budget crisis and the sequester crisis and the deficit crisis and the tax crisis in this country, he plans to announce a Great Society program that President Johnson had in the 60s. In other words, let's help these emerging democracies. Let's fund them. Let's put trillions of dollars in countries like Libya, Tunisia, Egypt, Jordan, Bahrain, maybe even Yemen, maybe even down into Chad and Somalia and Ethiopia, maybe even giving money to the Algerians and the Moroccans to stop the Salafists. So this is the philosophy of the Obama administration. but and the key John, country is Turkey.
But, John, how can they possibly do that? We can't pay our bills now. We're talking about a deficit of $1.1 to $1.3 or $4 trillion. We can't pay our bills. How can we possibly give massive trillions of amounts of money, trillions of dollars to the countries over there? How will that benefit us? Why don't we defend America rather than trying to tell other countries throughout the world how to live?
Well, the liberal spin machine that's going on, if you pick up a lot of the rhetoric, even that the new Secretary of State, Mr. Kerry, has been saying, he says some ridiculous number, like we only put 1% of our total budget into foreign aid, because there's been a lot of complaints about people like Egypt or Turkey stealing our money and not doing what we wanted to do with it. And now they're talking about putting trillions because it's better than fighting wars. In other words, the wars we've had, as you know, in Iraq and Afghanistan have cost us trillions. So instead of fighting wars and spending money and moving armies and navies over there, their philosophy is we must encourage democracy. There are 77 countries in the world that are democratic, largely because the United States and our allies pushing democracy. And that's what our foreign policy is all about, expanding democracy and capitalism, selling freedom and Coca-Cola. So if we want those countries democratic and we want to establish markets and we want to protect ourselves from weapons of mass destruction, this is the Obama philosophy. Isn't it better to fund massive programs, and they're talking about social programs, educational programs, water programs, health programs, in all of those countries? So Turkey, getting back to Turkey again, Turkey being really the first democratic secular country is seen as a model for that. Now, like you said, there's many risks with this. Is Turkey going to go to the Ottoman Empire style of government in the region? Is Turkey going to move more to Islam? Okay, these are things the United States is concerned about, but in power politics, we also are trying to marginalize Russia, marginalize the EU, and at the same time, what's amazing, we're often backing away from our real democratic ally in the area, Israel. And it's happening with Turkey. It's happening here in the United States. And it's even happening with Mr. Obama. After 5 years, he's conducted negotiations with Iran. The Israelis have had it. They're getting more scared, more paranoid, and they do not want to wait any longer. They want to attack Iran. Mr. Obama even has a plan for that. He figures if he doesn't push and join in with Israel on an attack with Iran, he'll be okay, because if Israel attacks, we have these ironclad treaties with Israel that we will have to support them in a counterattack against Iran. In other words, if Iran attacks Israel, we'll go in because of these treaties and probably wipe out their air force and their navy. But at the same time, he can reach out to the Arab world and say, well, we were forced to do it. Israel forced our hand because you knew for 5 years we were trying to negotiate with Iran and it didn't work. Now that would probably please the Israelis. It would please Saudi Arabia, that's Sunni. They have a long-term enemy with Iran, but it could upset the whole region, because if Turkey abandons us and Turkey does not go along with this, they do not want us to attack Iran, this could upset our entire foreign policy in Central Asia and in the Mideast.
Well, let's talk just a little bit about, certainly, the relationship between Israel and Syria. Now, of course, we have this violent revolution taking place in Syria. And, of course, the why we should be concerned is because Syria has a very large supply of chemical weapons. And certainly the last thing that Israel can allow is for the terrorists to get hold of those chemical weapons. If they did, why, certainly everyone in Israel would be in jeopardy. So if it looks like the extremists, like the terrorists, are going to get hold of those weapons, why, Israel is going to have to invade Syria. Would that be an accurate appraisal of what's going on?
Yes, they have a plan. Their major concern is that radical opposition groups to Mr. Assad that runs Syria could obtain those chemical weapons and possibly give them to Hezbollah or Hamas. That's the main concern Israel has. And they are positioned to go into these 6 to 12 sites and seize the chemical weapons.
Hold that thought. We're going to have to take a little break here. But ladies and gentlemen, this is one of the major issues. We're not talking about it, but it's only a matter of not if, but when.
Your body is composed of literally trillions of cells. Cells are the building blocks of energy and performance for your health and for the life you want to live. Nutritional Therapeutics, a trusted manufacturer of vitamin supplements, understands that when cells aren't operating at optimum levels, one of the immediate signs is an increase in fatigue. Propax is a daily multiple vitamin enhanced with our proprietary formula called NT Factor. Less fatigue equals more natural energy. Propax with NT Factor addresses cellular damage and gives you health from nature, energy from science. Call today at 1-800-982-9158. Try ProPax with NT Factor. Call 1-800-982-9158. Order yours today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure, or prevent any disease.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it, taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging, Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now, 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Sydney John is giving us a rundown of the situation that exists over in the Middle East there as far as Israel is concerned. And Israel feels really threatened by the fact that the Syrian chemical weapons could fall into the hands of the terrorists, and Israel cannot allow that. Now, apparently, Hezbollah has a large, they're just immediately to the north of Israel and Lebanon, in southern Lebanon, and certainly there's a question that they may even have up to 100,000, moderately sophisticated missiles in that area. This could just pulverize, certainly, Israel, and then, of course, the change the relationships between Israel and Turkey. The Israelis are concerned that the Jordanian government could fall, and if it did, it would fall into the hands of the radicals. Certainly Egypt is already in the hands of the radicals, and for some incredible reason, America is now fully involved in arming the Muslim Brotherhood there in Egypt, having transferred some 20 F-16 fighter jets and a number of tanks and other armaments to Egypt. Doesn't really make sense so much of what's going on. Certainly Saudi Arabia, even though they're an Arab nation, they're very much against Iran. And of course, they would not be terribly unhappy if Israel were to attack Iran, because of course they wouldn't necessarily do that themselves, but they certainly would be certainly not unfavorable, perhaps not publicly, but privately, if Israel should take on Iran. And then, of course, if Israel gets involved in war with Iran, and Iran then should retaliate against Israel, we have all sorts of treaties with Israel that if they're attacked, we will come to their aid. It would almost be as if we would be forced to go to war with Iran. And of course, John is in personal contact with a number of people highly placed in Israel who tell him that it's not a matter of if, but when they attack Syria, which could be a prologue to an attack on Iran. Would that be a fair assessment, John? If I said anything that isn't correct, please correct me.
No, you're absolutely right on. The other thing that people should pay attention to that sometimes we ignore, there's a tremendous arms buildup over the last year. Israel is in the process of having its eighth kilo-class German submarine, and then they've refitted it with nuclear missiles, the Delilah missile. They have a secret base now because people don't let Israeli ships come in to refuel their submarine. It's caused the Turks and the Egyptians to order more submarines, and at the same time, secretly, Israel is still supplying sophisticated radar units to the Turks. Even though the Turks, they did not accept $28 billion before we invaded Iraq. After the invasion, we paid them something like $32 billion. A lot of it was for arms. Jordan has more arms. Egypt is buying arms and forming alliances with both Turkey and Egypt, are trying to do it with Iran, rather, Egypt and Turkey. And there's arms, even the United States is supplying. We supplied a number of troops and batteries on the Syrian border, on the Turkish side of the Syrian border, at the request of Turkey. And these arms builds up are unbelievable. The French are supplying unbelievable arms to Turkmenistan, Kazakhstan, Azerbaijan, and Uzbekistan, and the United States has already supplied arms to Azerbaijan and Uzbekistan. So there's tremendous arms buildup in everything from light arms, machine guns, to sophisticated radar, missile defenses, missiles, naval ships. The Israelis have expanded naval training and their naval academy. They're training many, many more sailors, and they're acquiring more naval warfare ships in addition to submarines. So there's a big arms buildup. The Gulf states, which are doing very well economically, Oman, Bahrain, which has a lot of problems with the democratic movement, but Abu Dhabi, Dubai, Kuwait, and so on, are building up more arms, and we have very good alliances with the United States. The whole drone program in the area is actually booming. The United States is supplying drones to a lot of our allies there. The Iranians are building drones. The Israelis are very much ahead of everybody in sophisticated surveillance and combat drones. So it's like everybody is bracing for something to happen. I think
it's almost like it was before the Second World War. Everybody sensed the war was coming, and everybody was arming. And suddenly, this is really what you're describing, tremendous increase in armaments, all through that the Middle East. Would that be a fair assessment, the Middle East, the Far East?
It's unprecedented. It's huge.
And ladies and gentlemen, this is why we plead with you. I mean, be aware of this. Our attention is being focused on, yesterday on the Oscars and on football and the football trades. Ladies and gentlemen, the events that are taking place can influence your life very soon.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
So you finally decided to start taking a vitamin supplement. Those chewables and tablets are fine if you don't mind paying for something that is only absorbed about 4 to 6%. However, a liquid supplement can have a 90% absorption rate if you choose the right one. Youngevity offers a wide variety of liquid supplements with a 90% absorption rate or more. Beyond Tangy Tangerine may be the best one ever invented. It starts as a liquid, then is freeze-dried like those instant coffees into a crystal. Then all you have to do is add a couple of scoops to water. No refrigeration, no fuss, no mess. Not only do you get a complete multiple vitamin, Beyond Tangy Tangerine also has minerals, and it tastes fantastic. You'll want to drink it all day long. So the next time you reach for a vitamin supplement, reach for Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity. For more information or to order, call 1-800-991-8730. That's 1-800-991-8730 and ask about business opportunities.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is John Quirk. And John, do you have a website where anybody could get some of your articles? I know you're writing a book at the present time, but are any of your articles posted up on the web anyplace?
Yes, my books and articles are posted. It's www.assetlocationinternational.com.
One more time, the address.
www.assetlocationinternational.com. And if somebody contacts me, I'll send recent articles and some summaries of television shows that I was able to do in Turkey about the whole issue of what's happening there in that region.
Well, now, do you speak Turkish, or most of the people over there speak English?
No, in fact, that's a limitation I have. Most people do not speak English, and you have to have a translator. When I teach, I have, simultaneous translations, and it's a very difficult language, and it's not a language that, you know, was predominant in American studies such as Russian or Chinese, or even today the number one language is Arabic that American students are taking if they're in, you know, Middle Eastern studies. One thing I wanted to say that, you know, when you're talking about military actions and political actions, the Turks, concerned like a lot of other people, the Turkish economy has tripled in the past decade. They are so wealthy and prosperous. They've signed something like 30 foreign trade agreements. They've opened up 20 to 30 new embassies around the world. They have a very visa-free country. They've encouraged tremendous Muslim tourism. You'll see Muslims coming in from every country dressed in different, you know, regalia and going to the mosques. And yet, Turkey has 12 synagogues. They have 12 churches. They're very tolerant, although the Christians and Jews are worried about them moving more to Islam. The business climate is secular. It's very positive. There's many more rights for women. The foreign minister really combines commercial activity like the United States with their foreign policy. The U.S. foreign policy is based on two things, exporting democracy and capitalism. The Turkish foreign policy is based on getting along with people and exporting business. And the United States hopes to influence them to promote more democracy in the Muslim world. You see, I won't say it's a labyrinthian goal of the United States, but it probably makes a lot of sense. Now, there's lots of problems. The European downturn, you know, is kind of hurting the Turks a little bit. And if there's a war in that region, anywhere from and it probably could be over energy too, but if there's a war in the region between Iran and Israel and the United States, that could sink the European economy into a depression. As you know, they're struggling as it is. France is in very bad economic shape. Ireland seems to be coming out of it. Spain has almost 30% unemployment. Italy is going into you know, a worse recession than they've ever had. And the other thing about Turkey, you can go in there and you can get a loan. The banks in the United States are loaded with money, but they won't loan money. Obama sees that they will start loaning money. He believes they'll start loaning money after the deficit and budget problems occur. It could be 6 months to a year, and that's the only way he's going to sell his Great Society program for the Middle East. But the European banks are illiquid. Turkey is a gem. I'd say Turkey and China are probably the two gems sitting on loads of cash. You can borrow money for a house. You can borrow money for a small business. The Turks are getting into new businesses that they've never had before. They're purchasing lots of luxury goods. A lot of the companies that I'm involved with in banks are starting corporate intelligence companies to try to do more research to build up their companies. And then the Turks are in the process of being a very important conduit from energy. If you look on a map, all the oil and gas that comes out of Russia and Azerbaijan, two big producers of energy, go through Turkey. They've discovered new liquid natural gas fields off Cyprus. Turkey and Israel are at it against each other there. They both claim. Turkey is importing Kurdish oil from Iraq while at the same time fighting a major terrorist group called PKK that's Kurdish. They're fighting for Kurdish independence. Turkey is signing an agreement to get oil from Azerbaijan and other Caspian countries. So you can see, and you know, the United States is always a glutton for oil. That's why we need, that's another reason we need Turkey. We shouldn't underscore the whole energy thing. So energy, economics, war, they're kind of all at odds with each other. And the key is Iran. Is Iran going to back off from developing, you know, more nuclear research to get bombed?
Well, now, of course, I know that you have some good contacts within the Israeli government. What did they tell you about the possibility, first of all, of an attack on Syria to protect the against the chemical weapons there? And secondly, what did they tell you about the possibility of a war with Iran? What are your thoughts?
Well, the two basic tenets now of the Israeli Defense Forces are, A, to secure the chemical weapons fields and facilities in Syria so they don't get in the hands of Hezbollah, which is their sworn enemy in their neighbor, Lebanon.
Now, basically, is Syria actually manufacturing chemical weapons? I mean, I thought a lot of the chemical weapons they had were those they'd gotten from Saddam Hussein, who set them there before the Second Gulf War began.
No, they've had a long history of developing a variety of chemical weapons and we think biological weapons. A lot of Saddam Hussein's chemical weapons that, you know, Bush went after, you know, with some bad intelligence initially, were shipped to Syria. There's no doubt about it, but the media never seems to report that. And of course, the Russians have helped them. And more recently, the last 2 years, the Venezuelans have helped them. We suspect there's not any evidence. The Venezuelans have a biological warfare plant outside of Caracas. I lived in Venezuela 3 years, and I follow it because I've always been interested in what's happening in Venezuela. By the way, Mr. Chavez is probably dead already. And the Cubans have solidified their position there, but. The Syrians, to answer your question, have had a long, skillful history of manufacturing, creating, and developing machinery and chemical weapons, and they're controlled by the Alawites. And this is a big concern to Israel. The second part of Israel's plan is that they are not going to wait any longer. They just feel that there are too many outside elements that are pushing them to attack Iran. They worry about the change in the Obama administration towards Israel. They worry about the intelligence reports that America has that's different than their intelligence reports about Iran. They're worried about Egypt. They're worried about the Arab Spring. They're worried about more hostile Muslim nations on their border if democracy in these countries doesn't take hold. They're extremely worried about Syria. Most Israelis have told me in the military and intelligence they wish Assad would have stayed in. At least they would have been able to know their enemy. They don't know who their enemies are now. They don't know who could get a position there because there's so many divergent groups. And the worst thing, and they've been very patient with the Obama administration and Bush for 5 or 6 years, is that we have failed to reach an agreement with Iran. The Iranians are just, they practice brinkmanship like the North Koreans, and Mr. Obama has offered them everything. He's offered them to unfreeze their billions, which they need, to give them American oil technology, to recognize them, which they want as a matter of pride, that they are the regional power in the area. And the United States feels if we would have done that, we could have marginalized Iran's efforts in Syria and Hezbollah. We would have given Israel the security that they need and deserve. And at the same time, they changed their mind. They walked out of negotiations the other day. An American diplomat reminds me of when the United States was dealing with North Korea after the Korean War, that they just threw their hands up and said, We don't know how to deal with these people. We're no match for these Iranians in negotiations. So the Israelis are watching all of these things, you know. They're in a cauldron over there, okay? They've got Egypt to worry about. They've got these other countries. They've got Iran trying to develop what they say is peaceful nuclear energy. The Israelis don't believe that. And the U.S. policy and Israeli policy is really at odds with each other. And if you look at some of the rhetoric that people in the Obama administration, Mr. Brennan at the CIA, and Mr. Dempsey and others are saying, if you look at what they're saying, they're kind of leaning more to the Islamic world. They don't even refer to Jerusalem as Jerusalem. They refer it to an Arab world. So the movement of the United States is they're also capitalizing on the fact that American Jews do not support Israel like they used to. Okay. American Jews overwhelmingly voted for Mr. Obama, even though, you know, it's perceived that Mr. Obama is not pro-Israeli. So the Israelis have a lot to worry about. To answer your question, yes, they're worried about serious chemical weapons, and they're worried about Iran. And I believe they will attack Iran within the next 6 months, and then they will drag the United States, or the United States, because of treaty, will be obligated to help them.
And, of course, this could have a profound impact on our lives here in America today, and I don't think the average American really understands the implications of what's going on over there as all the nations are beginning to prepare for war. Now, I think I remember last thing we heard why Israel had four submarines. They're not nuclear submarines, but they're submarines that have missiles on them with nuclear warheads. Now, what are they up to, seven submarines?
Yes, they're up to seven. They're going to get delivery on an eighth. They expanded their submarine officer corps, and they have a secret base, and they're developing other bases. And it's caused a kind of a naval arms race. Now the Turks want more subs, and the Egyptians want more subs, and so on and so forth. So the Israelis feel that they need these submarines. They have two always based in the Gulf for surveillance and intelligence collection. They have two others always being refitted for training, and then they have two at sea that come out of the Red Sea back into the Indian Ocean, and who knows where the other two are going to be. But they are now the third superpower after the United States and Russia in submarine warfare. So all of this, plus other things that they have as far as missile defense, what the United States has helped them with, we helped them create the dome, it doesn't seem to bother the Iranians. The Iranians are as aggressive and hostile as ever. You know, everybody in the West is hoping for a last-minute breakthrough that Iran comes to its senses and makes peace, and that will give security to Israel, and they will abandon their nuclear research. Okay, Europe wants it, America wants it, English-speaking countries want it, Saudi Arabia wants it, but they are playing brinkmanship with the United States, and I don't think U.S. diplomats know what to do anymore. They're just frustrated.
Well, of course, from a logical point of view, Iran would make the concessions. The last thing that they would want would be a confrontation with America, the mightiest military in the world. But so many of the things going on in the world today just don't make sense. And until we recognize that, and we recognize there has to be some other explanation, why it doesn't make sense why Iran won't say, well, we're just not going to suddenly build nuclear weapons. That's what Gaddafi said in Libya. Hey, I'm not going to build nuclear weapons. We're going to do away with all of our research. Come on in. You can go any place you want to, but they didn't do that. Now, we're sort of getting to the end of the program, but I wanted you to bring up Mr. Gulen again, because I suddenly mentioned him this afternoon. Most Americans have never heard of this man, one of the most wealthy men in the world, closely aligned with a radical Muslim brotherhood. But could you tell our listeners a little bit about Gulen and why he is so important to America today?
Yeah, Mr. Gulen is an amazing character. He's a multi-billionaire. He lives in a guarded compound in Pennsylvania. He is starting hundreds and maybe up to 1,000 now Islamic charter schools. He's not a jihadist, but he believes in Islamic government. He helped the current prime minister become elected. He has something called the Justice and Developmental Party. It's called the AKP. It's a cult, basically. Maybe it's an exaggeration to call it a cult. But he owns radio stations, newspaper publishing houses, hundreds of media outlets, and he helped the current prime minister become elected. to the point that he started bugging him so much for more jobs in the Interior Ministry of Police. He's got 70% of the police are supporters of Gulen in Turkey. And he's kind of had to leave the country because he's been unwelcome there. They conducted a criminal investigation of him there. He beat that in 2008. The FBI had a criminal investigation against him, and he beat that because he was not involved. He was very careful about obeying the law, you know, for money laundering. But he raises lots of money. And the Gulen movement is a strong influence in Turkish politics. It's never dead. It's like the mafia. You don't wipe it out. You just control it from taking over the country. And make a general statement. Secular Turks don't like it. Okay, and it's basically a secret society, and I wouldn't go so far to say it's completely sinister, but it's a player in Turkish politics, and
it's also a player here. Basically, there are at least 50 to 60 charter schools that have been set up by Gulen here in the United States. He's estimated his wealth somewhere between 30 and 40. $1 billion that they, when he came to the United States, even the State Department, the FBI didn't want him in, but the CIA was solidly behind him, and so he got in, and he's given permanent residence. He has an armed enclave in Pennsylvania, and the fact is you never hear of him, ladies and gentlemen, simply reflects the degree of control that exists over what the American people think and believe. The name Gulen, G-U-L-E-N, G-U-L-E-N, look it up, and we'll be back in a moment.
Your body is composed of literally trillions of cells. Cells are the building blocks of energy and performance for your health and for the life you want to live. Nutritional Therapeutics, a trusted manufacturer of vitamin supplements, understands that when cells aren't operating at optimum levels, one of the immediate signs is an increase in fatigue. Propax is a daily multiple vitamin enhanced with our proprietary formula called NT Factor. Less fatigue equals more natural energy. Propax with NT Factor addresses cellular damage and gives you health from nature, energy from science. Call today at 1-800-982-9158. Try Propax with NT Factor. Call 1-800-982-9158. Order yours today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure, or prevent any disease. There is a disturbing trend here in these United States that is progressing unnoticed and without constraint. From the Supreme Court to the smallest county seat, we have seen the judiciary make decisions which are more legislative than interpretive. Our founding fathers designed our three-part governmental system to have checks and balances upon each other. Each branch of the government has now taken it upon itself power that was never intended for it to have. The judicial branch in particular needs reform. We must pass laws which bring a renewed sense of justice to our nation's court system. I urge you to go to judicialreformnow.com. That's judicialreformnow.com. There you can find out what you can do to stem the tide of judicial malpractice. Judicialreformnow.com.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
From the mountains, through the prairies, through the ocean,
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We do hope you enjoyed our conversation with John. He's going to be going back over to live in Turkey for a couple of years now, and I certainly will be teaching and lecturing over there. And certainly I've known John for a number of years. He's a fabulous source of information. John is very worried about the very real possibility of an Israeli attack on Syria, of an Israeli attack on Iran. And we're just going to have to wait and see how this plays out. But everybody is preparing for war today. And the question I would ask you is, why are we arming Egypt? Egypt, of course, has gone over to the Muslim Brotherhood. The man is in charge there, Mr. Morsi, is a radical Islamist elected, and now he is simply establishing a one-party system, an authoritarian system. And what are we doing? Why we are simply selling him for a nominal fee, or maybe we're just giving him, I think it's 20 F-16s and all sorts of tanks and armaments. And we're going to build up that whole area in preparation for a war. But you can't understand anything going on unless you understand certainly World War II, how American corporations funded and built the weapons for Adolf Hitler, not only before, but during the war. And if you haven't heard our 4-CD set on the war against the Jews, my interviews with John Loftus, who had a security clearance three levels above top secret, his book, America's Nazi Secret, is must reading. His 4-CD set, The War Against the Jews, you've got to listen to. And then, of course, you need to read Dennis Cuddy's book, The Power Elite and the Secret Nazi Plan. We carry the book Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler by Professor Sutton. And, of course, these sort of information you're not going to get elsewhere. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. So much of what's going on in the world today doesn't make sense unless you understand what's really behind the scenes. And suddenly somebody called in this afternoon with a question, and they didn't understand why Israel would want to go to war with Iran when all of our intelligence agencies says that Iran is not trying to build a nuclear weapon. And my response was, so if you would just answer one question for me. Why did Israel recently release 1,026 convicted terrorists? 400 of them were murderers, and many of them were multiple murderers. Why would you release 1,026 terrorists to get back one Israeli soldier? You can check it out on the internet. That's exactly what happened. Obviously, there's another reason behind this. If you don't release the terrorists, how are we going to have a war on terrorism? If we didn't build up the Nazis before World War II, how could we have a war against the Nazis? If we hadn't funded the Russians, who funded the North Vietnamese, who funded the Viet Cong, how could we have had a war in Vietnam and killed 58,000 American boys and wounded hundreds of thousands of Americans in a war that we could have won in a week? Or 6 weeks, that's what Ambassador William H. Sullivan and four-star Marine General Lew Walt told me. All you had to do was invade North Vietnam, but we never did that. We never tried to win the war. We're moving into a period of chaos and crisis, ladies and gentlemen. Make your preparations, but understand behind it are powerful spiritual forces. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it, you need to read it. And if you can't afford to, go up to our website, RadioLiberty.com, scroll down to videos, scroll down the videos to my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness from which the book came. You need to have the information. You need to share it with others. You need to help us let people understand. We're involved in a spiritual battle being carried out on a political and cultural and ideological battlefield. But it is really a spiritual battle, and most of what's going on today doesn't make sense. Only when you understand it doesn't make sense does it actually begin to understand there are forces out there. There's an X factor that nobody ever talks about. Why? Because they don't want you to know, ladies and gentlemen. It's just that simple. The American people will not understand until, of course, the America we've known has been destroyed. We're moving into financial Armageddon. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers. Please pray for Radio Liberty, our staff, for our provision and protection. And so until Monday, we won't be here tomorrow, but until Monday at the same time, may the Lord be with you. As we raise our voice. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or the supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, hopefully they're going to be views of Jerry Petterman, and we're going to be talking about the real danger of an EMP attack, electromagnetic pulse attack, either coming from the sun or coming from the explosion of a thermonuclear device in the high above the atmosphere, 200 to 400 miles above the surface of our country, which would simply wipe out our electric grid. And certainly if this were to occur, it is quite possible that within 6 to 12 months, 90% of our population would be dead. And why suddenly would anybody even think about something like that? Well, ladies and gentlemen, Congress has. They've had a number of hearings on this. We offer you the 2004 Congressional Commission on the Danger of an EMP Attack, and nobody's ever heard about it. You're not hearing about the danger of an EMP attack. It's through regular channels. We don't hear about it night after night. We hear about the 20 children who tragically died in there in Sandy Hook in Newtown, Connecticut. We hear it over and over again. In fact, they even had a choir from the Sandy Hook School sing at the Super Bowl. How did they do that? Why did they do that? Because they want to disarm the American people, because we know we're heading into a period of chaos and crisis, and they don't want you to be able to defend yourselves, and there really are people who want a dictatorship in America. And that, of course, is a subversive group who operate through the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, the left, the conservative, the liberals, the Democrats, Republicans. They have their people planted in key places within the military and banking, and largely control what the American people think. And that's why we don't hear about the danger of an EMP. I think sooner or later, in one way or another, we're going to be involved in a confrontation with Iran, and an EMP attack would simply destroy our ability to react. With us is Jerry Petterman. Jerry, thank you so very much for being with us. Could you sort of introduce yourself? And well, I don't know where Jerry Petterman is. I'm going to ask our producer to call him back again. We seem to have lost him. But basically, of course, Jerry, of course, is going to be talking to us about the danger of an attack on the United States. Dr. Stan's not imaginary. This is very real. And we want you to understand that there is a very real threat to America. And the fact that we're not talking about this, we're not talking about so many of the things that we've talked about in the last hour, is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. Hi, Jerry. How are we doing?
We're doing, Dr. Stan. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself, and then we'll get into the discussion of what an EMP attack would mean to America.
Well, Dr. Stan, I'm 62 years old. I started out as a broadcast engineer, became a nuclear engineer, did a few other things, became a wireless design engineer, and that's pretty much it.
All right, fine. You hang on there, and we'll be back in just a moment to talk about the very real threat of an EMP attack. Jerry, you go right ahead. So what about this EMP?
But I didn't know. Yes, it is very real. It's something that is the greatest folly that man has ever contemplated. Whether it's a bunch of Iranians or lunatics somewhere in the world, it's the greatest folly that's ever been conceived of.
All right, fine. Well, now, basically, is there a threat? I mean, who would be able to launch an EMP attack on America? And, of course, there are other ways, of course, we could have the same problem. We could have it as a result of the flares on the sun, couldn't we?
Yes, of course we could. I think any nation that has nuclear capability and that could launch 80 or 90 miles into the atmosphere, all that takes is a sounding rocket from the 1950s to get it up high enough over our country. We do it from the edge of edge of the ocean or any place on a ship outside the shores of this country. Certainly it could be done, but the reason I said it was the great nuclear greatest folly that we've ever had is that that would trigger a Holocaust like no one has ever imagined. And the person that shot off the thing would also... What you end up having, Dr. Stan, is if you have a real attack like that, you're going to have an EMP. You're going to have the meltdown of the grid to pump water. We've got anywhere from 6 to 12 weeks before we have some kind of a problem with those. But that's not the main problem. You see, back in, I think it was 1859, we had the Carrington event, which was triggered by a solar flare. And charged particles did exactly the same thing that a CME, a coronal mass ejection, or an EMP would do from a nuclear weapon. And it melted the wires for telegraph lines. And where those wires came into the offices...
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Jerry was simply saying that certainly an EMP attack or an electromagnetic pun would devastate our country. He was talking about the fact that in 1859 there were some massive solar flares and the electromagnetic pulse came from the sun, hit America, and suddenly decimated. Now, of course, we
strand barbs and various things that have been invented. Those also sank to the ground and caused various kinds of this entire world with electricity without thinking about there being another Carrington event. It burned down the telegraph offices. What's it going to do to every building that we have that has wire in the walls? That's going to be the conflagration that you have initially. You're going to be in the smoke and the dark because virtually if it's going to be a nation like us, all our buildings are going to burn. That's one reason why I don't think it's ever going to happen from some other nation because that this entire nation would be a fire. All the buildings would be burning. And that's going to spread around the world, and then you're going to have the nuclear situation very shortly after that, and that's going to blow in the winds. All 103 will go critical because you can't stop it. There's nothing there to pump the water. There's
now you're talking about the nuclear power plants we have, 103 right. Nuclear power plants, and they wouldn't have any electricity to pump the water to cool the nuclear cores. Is this what you're saying? And so that the yeah. Nuclear power plants, all 103 of them, could suddenly could begin to break down.
Yes, of course they could. And so what people say, well, get the diesel truck out there and get that. I'm sorry. That has electrical coils to start the engine. It has electronics to control the engine. That doesn't work. There isn't anything that we have that isn't electronically controlled nowadays. So there's not going to be a fire truck coming to your house to put out the fire because your walls are burning. It is literally hell on earth. And that's only one country. Now, a CME from the sun is virtually every country on Earth. So at that point, all 700 in various numbers of nuclear power plants go critical. And it's the end of this planet completely.
Well, then why aren't we doing what should be done? Certainly you can put things into the electric lines, breakers, so that this would not spread all across the country. Why aren't we doing what's logical to try to prevent the devastation from an EMP attack?
I don't think there's anything, you know, and I sound like the guy that knows the sun's going to blow up tomorrow and the planet vaporizes. Dr. Stan, I don't think there's anything we can do except just pray that the CMEs never occur from the sun and that at some point we have enough common sense to take the wires out of the walls of the building because, frankly, who cares about the power plants? You're going to choke to death on the smoke and the conflagration of fires before you ever get to the point of being irradiated. I mean, I don't understand where people think that they could. Maybe that's why Homeland Security doesn't even list this as something to worry about, because it's like everybody's smoking cigarettes in the powder keg room, and nobody's realized it's the powder keg room. It makes no sense. It doesn't, to me, I don't understand how we're supposed to survive.
Well, of course, this is the point we try to bring out over and over again, is that when something happens and it just doesn't make sense, then there has to be another explanation. There has to be an X factor. There has to be something else out there that is preventing us from doing what is logical, faced with a very real and life-threatening danger. Because, of course, those people who studied the danger of an EMP attack, and we have a four-tape set, we have a DVD, we have a book on this, so we have the Congressional Commission report, and we have the Heritage Commission report, and they almost all say the same thing, that within 6 months to a year, as many as 90% of the American population could be dead. Now, if this is true, and if any of you want the Heritage Commission report, you can get that off the internet or we can send it to you. But basically, this is what they say, Heritage Commission report, written by a couple of PhDs who've analyzed this. And the people who've analyzed it are frightened to death. And we've talked to a fair number of them who are making preparations to try to protect themselves, hoping against hope that they'll be able to survive when this very real threat comes to pass. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, right here at the Radio Liberty. And Jerry, you go ahead. Certainly, you're talking about fires. Now, were there a lot of fires back in 1859? I'd never heard that before, but were there actually fires at that time?
Oh, absolutely. There were a lot of prairie fires, and there were a lot of the telegraph offices that burned, because there really wasn't a lot of telegraph at that time. We really hadn't gotten up and running yet. The Transcontinental Railroad system wasn't really in place yet. This happened before technology really became part of our lives in this country. A lot of people are, I had to laugh when, and I don't mean in a humorous way, Michio Kaku said in one of his quotes that he's the physicist who did string theory. He said it would put us back in the 1800s in a flash.
Well, basically it would be like it was before we had electricity. Now, who is the scientist that you're speaking of who has made that statement?
Michio Kaku. He is the string theorist who has postulated string theory as a part of the way the universe works. And he's on a lot of the History Channel and Discovery Channel, and, you know, he has a lot of... Matter of fact, if you like, I can tell people where they could read the basic notes on how... what I think about this.
All right, fine. You go right ahead and tell them how they could get your information on the threat of an EMP, electromagnetic pulse attack.
Okay. It would be at the website that I created. I have a publishing website. I write books and things. And on that website, it's J.W. Peterman, P-E-T-E-R-M-A-N-N. .com, jwpeterman.com. And if you go there, there is a button, if you will, that is a light blue, and it says technology-CMEs. And if you just click on that, it'll go directly to the thing called Technology Review, Facts to Consider Regarding EMPs and CMEs. And it's a really well-tuned web page that has a lot of links, a whole lot of links. And also it kind of throws information on this as to how I know what I know, because I'm connected by a thread back to the Manhattan Project. I bought out the nuclear Chicago line, which was developed from the radiation detection products created for the Manhattan Project. And so all of that is on the technology review page, and people can see where I came along involved in that.
You know, basically what happens is, of course, the EMP attack hits the power lines, and then, of course, it just goes through and just goes into anything that is plugged into those power lines and simply destroys the structure, the electronic structure, whether it would certainly be radios or television or certainly computers. Is this basically what happens?
No, honestly, it's not. People think that. They think, well, we could just, you know, unplug the power line and we could be off grid. It doesn't work like that. It's as if we're next to the sun. And if we, because that's what a nuclear weapon is, it's a ball of fusion. Because most of these, they're not going to use an atomic bomb, they're going to use a hydrogen bomb. Because that has the greatest effect. You make them fairly small nowadays. I've seen them up in Pantex Nuclear in North Texas, where they manufacture them. I used to take equipment up there. What happens is that you have this huge impulse of electromagnetic energy, and anything that's metal absorbs the energy. It's not just the wire coming into your house. It's the little wire that connects the frame on your glasses. It's the metal that I'm thinking about. My mouth is going to burn because I have a little implant in my mouth. Anything that's metal, if you have a wristwatch, the wristwatch will burn your arm if it's a metal material. Anything that's metal is going to absorb this energy. And if it's enough of it, and the metal is fairly thin, let's say it's long, like a wire fence, or anything like that, it's going to sag to the ground, melt, and set things on fire. All of the wires in the walls, whether you're attached to the grid or not, those wires are going to sag because they absorb the energy. Somebody said, well, yeah, but they got insulation on them. Oh, good, then the plastic can burn because the insulation is plastic, and that will set the house on fire.
Hold that thought. Hold the thought. House. We'll be right back.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a
God bless America. Pop? Right, son.
God bless America, land that I love, I heard through the night with a light from above, from the mountains to the prairie, to the ocean, white with gold.
Kind of makes you think of Blake, doesn't it? Makes you think of a lot of things. We're going to be in this yet, Mom.
Hello, son.
Hi, Mom.
Hello, darling.
New song?
Brand new, first time in the air.
Brand new, my eye. You know, I threw that song out of Yip Yip Yap Bang 22 years ago.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Jerry Petterman. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And Jerry certainly works with nuclear engineering, and he says that, you know, we're just going to have, if we should either have an EMP attack, or heaven forbid, we should have an electromagnetic pulse attack on America from the sun. Why, of course, why this could have a devastating effect as far as wires are concerned. Now, Jerry, certainly the impulse is a very, very short period of time. Would that be enough, actually, to get the insulation on wires burning? Or would that simply give them just that one instant? Could you really get fires going?
I think you could. If this has more power than the Carrington effect, and one pulse like this, that happened at Trinity when they fired off the first nuclear weapon. The result there was that the old radiation detectors, they couldn't even figure out how much energy was produced or how much electromagnetic flux was produced because all of their detector systems burned out. They really hadn't, I guess they just hadn't expected there to be an electromagnetic flux as big as there was.
Now, basically, radiation. Is this the experiments were done in the South Pacific, in the 1950s and 60s?
No, this was 1945 in New Mexico,
okay,
when the first atomic bomb was ignited.
Okay.
And at that point, they didn't even know if the chain reaction would stop with the bomb or if it would take out the world. They just didn't know. I know that sounds kind of stupid now, but they didn't know. And when they went ahead and touched it off, and when they did, all the wires and all everything within about 5 miles of that place melted, and nothing worked. All their detection systems and everything else. So yes, one impulse from a 100 megaton nuclear weapon blast would cause unbelievable holocaust on this country.
Well, now, basically, and, of course, most of our weapons are 1 megaton. You're talking about 100 megaton. I know the Russians actually have made some weapons that large. Go right
ahead. if we don't get 100, they'll some country would set something off at 20 miles above or 40 miles above, and you would get 300,000 square miles to go up instead of the all of the United States. They'd probably take out a large city like New York or something. You'd have every building in the city burning from the wires sagging and the walls and everything else. And, of course, nothing would work electronically. That kind of really bothers me as far as civilization, too, because if we have a CME from the sun, we don't have anybody who is a cobbler anymore. By that I mean that there's nobody that knows how to just make shoes, and I'm talking about the whole shoe. In other words, any technology, we don't have one person who, if that one person were to survive, that person couldn't build an automobile. That person couldn't build a washing machine. They, you know, before we had technology, you had craftspeople who could build something. Well, now everything is cobbled together with every kind of other technology, so that it's so intricate, no one person knows anything. And where are all our files on how to do this? Everything's on magnetic discs or optical discs. Optical discs can't be read if the electronics to read them is gone. You know, the libraries will burn from the wires hanging down in the walls for the electricity. So I, you know, other than being in bunkers, I don't know how humanity would ever survive such a thing.
Well, we do know, of course, that the elite have their underground study facilities. Anybody who doubts that, simply go up on YouTube, certainly go to Google, type in YouTube of Jesse Ventura underground facilities. And, of course, right. We've talked to a number of people who've analyzed these. Our good friend Bob Fletcher has analyzed this, but you can check Jesse Ventura's programs. He's actually seen some of them. The elite knows something big is coming. And this is why, of course, they have hundreds of thousands of coffins ready for enough to actually take care of about 2 million casualties. But they have the underground facilities. And we know that about 2 years ago, while you couldn't buy hardly freeze-dry food because they were buying it all up, they're buying up 2 billion rounds of ammunition. What do they know that the rest of us don't know? Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-2295. Give us a call.
While a storm cloud gathers far across the sea, let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America.
Right, son.
God bless America.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Jerry Petterman. And we're talking about the danger of an EMP attack, either from solar or certainly from a nuclear device being detonated in the stratosphere above America. Telephone number, if you have a question or comment, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Now, Jerry, it's my understanding that sometime after the Second World War, where they actually detonated some nuclear devices in the South Pacific, and actually they had certainly impact on the Hawaiian Islands. Do you know anything about those studies?
Yes, I do. I know that some of it's still classified, but the electromagnetic effects went from Bikini Atoll all the way to the Hawaiian Islands, and you can see some of the, just look up some of the Bikini Atoll nuclear tests on the internet, and you see these monster mushroom clouds coming out of the water. It's just unbelievable. Actually, there's one of them that shows a dark image going vertical on the column, the vertical column, and they realize, oh, that was an entire battleship rising up out of the water and flying up into the air. And we know how big battleships, World War II battleships are. But I thought of something during the break. People say, well, maybe the wires and the walls won't melt because they're, you know, there's a number 10 or 12 gauge wire. Okay, I'll go with that. Let's say it doesn't. What about all the little telephone wires, number 18? Wouldn't take much to melt those. And there's lots of those, and they have a lot of insulation, too. And they're encapsulated with a lot of other plastic. So you can get down to fairly tiny wires that would, in fact, melt and set off a conflagration. But I think of these guys that dig the holes and go underground, and they're going to, you know, go survive this thing. Okay, fine. So you're going to stay underground for the next 4.5 billion years? Because if you set off this stuff and you ignite the nuclear power plants, the material coming out of that, some of the material that is created from a nuclear power plant going critical lasts 4.5 billion years, its half-life. And a half-life means that in 4.5 billion years, it's going to be half as radioactive as it is now. So these guys better learn to live underground and never, ever show their face again. Or they better start figuring out how to build those anti-grav flying saucers and leave the planet, because they don't have much choice. Either way, they have to stay underground and never come out again, or they have to leave the planet. So that's my feeling about that.
Well, now, basically, can't they actually take those nuclear rods if there's an emergency? And what do? Do they put them in water? What do they put them in so that they will not become overly they have facilities there to protect the nuclear rods in case that they there to actually control the heat, or do they?
Everything in all the power plants, all the General Electric power plants, the rods are automated because nobody can get close enough to them. And that system is electric, and it pulls those rods back out of the carbon blocks. And, of course, you want to insert the rods into the carbon blocks to absorb all of the radioactive particles, the energy that's coming off of the rods. And when you pull the rods back out a little bit, then the rods interact with each other and boil the water. All of that procedure is done electrically because no human being can get close enough to it. And so we've got a basic problem of, again, no control on the rods being able to move them physically. There's no physical way to do it, not by mechanical means without electricity.
Well, but do the electric plants, do the nuclear generating plants have a backup generators?
Oh, sure, but unless you build Faraday cages around your backup generators, you wouldn't have any means of control. I mean, I tell you how stupid these people really are. All you have to do is look at Fukushima. They put the generators in the basement next to the ocean. The basement was below sea level. What wouldn't have mattered if it was 30 feet above sea level? the wave came in and swamped the generator, and consequently, there was no way to pump the water. And then it got too hot for people to get close to it. And a lot of those people that were pumping the water with fire trucks at that time, because there was no CME or EMP at that time, and you wouldn't get an EMP from a nuclear power plant going critical. This is a slow pot boiler. This is a problem where the actual rods melt, and then the more of the rods get together, and the more you have, you develop a critical mass, and that becomes 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, 8,000 degrees, and then it begins to percolate and boil off, and some of the nuclear material begins to enter the atmosphere, like the gray smoke that comes out of Fukushima today, still coming out. I just don't see how anything can be done to stop that. By the way, Dr. Stan, do you remember we were talking about a few years ago about not in my backyard, regarding where we're going to store all the nuclear rods? It was going to be in Yucca Flats or someplace out in Nevada.
Well, of course, they wanted to put in Nevada, but of course, the one thing that we never tried to do was to reprocess the nuclear rods. They wouldn't allow us to do what everybody else was doing. We had to store them underground someplace, and of course, that was because they didn't want nuclear power. They didn't want a solution to the problem. They wanted a problem that was insoluble, and that's basically what we ended up with.
Yes. Well, the reason we don't talk about those rods very much anymore is they were sold off to the federal government for a profit. It was scrap, but it was sold off to the federal government because it weighs almost twice as much as lead, depleted uranium does. And it makes real good kinetic energy weapons. In other words, it's so heavy that when you fire it and it hits something, it damages it quite a bit.
You're talking about depleted uranium weaponry, shells. Right.
That's correct. Okay. So all of this stuff has been used up by our federal government. Up to 40,000 tons has been converted to munitions and been used for the last 10 or 11 years in the wars in Iraq and Iraq and Afghanistan. And consequently, that area is bathed in nuclear particles now because the stuff gets exploded and drifts out into particles and gets in the wind. And so we're beginning to see those particles come in basically all over the world.
What's happened to the health of the people over there, certainly in Kuwait, in Iraq, in Afghanistan?
My God. It is so horrible. The number of deformed babies and aborted babies. It's just unbelievable. I retired and took a job at Home Depot just to have something to do. And a young man came in one day, and I noticed he was probably 24, 25 years old. It was 20 degrees outside. He had flip-flops, Bermuda shorts, and a T-shirt, and was sweating. And I noticed he scratched his head and hair came out. And he said, "Can you help me? It's so hot." And he took out a cloth and dampened his forehead. And I said, "May I ask you a question?" He said, "Certainly." I said, "Are you in the military?" He said, "Yes." I said, "What was your MOS? Or what was your job?" And he said, "Oh, I did three tours in Afghanistan. I was a tank driver. I said, "You spent how long a tour? 18 months each time. Okay, so you spent all that time in a tank?" "Yes." And I said, "What did they tell you is wrong with you? Because I noticed you're dressed for the summer." He said, but you said it was hot. "It's 20 degrees. We can't get it above 60 in the store. Everybody's freezing." He said, "No, I'm hot. And I said, have you been diagnosed? And he said, "Yeah, they say it's mental." And I said, "I'm a radiation specialist. Have you been tested for DU, depleted uranium?" "Well, I read about that, but they don't do that. They don't worry about that."
No, we poisoned an awful lot of our soldiers. You're right.
But they gave me some Prozac because I was worried too much. Okay. I don't think that man is alive today. That was about 4 years ago. I don't think he's alive today. I don't. He had advanced stages of radiation poisoning, and I don't think he ever made his 28th birthday. I was sickened by it, absolutely sickened by it. The story over there was that when we started using the material, a lot of the survey meters went off, the Geiger counters went off, because there was a lot of, when we first got into Iraq, there was a lot of survey instruments and various biological weapon material there, to detectors of various kinds. And people kept complaining, these things are going off. So the captain would go to the commander would go to the base commander, and it went on up the chain until it got to the Pentagon. And so there was a lot of hell being raised about these things going on. So they pulled the contract on the company that was calibrating these things and gave it to Halliburton. We don't have that problem today. It was a calibration problem.
It wasn't a calibration problem, as you know. We poisoned our troops over there. But then, of course, we sent 58,000 Americans to die in Vietnam in a war we never tried to win. In fact, we got them into the war by a phony Gulf of Tonkin incident, and we sent them into battle, never being allowed to win, taking the same hill time and time and time again, dragging the war on, but it was a wonderful diversion so they could bring in the great society. And the average individual cannot accept the fact that that was a phony war. But it was a phony war, ladies and gentlemen. We never tried to win, and until people begin to understand what's going on today, nothing really makes sense. We do have a caller, and let's see if we can get to him. Oh, God, Ari's picked that up. But, ladies and gentlemen, I think that there's a very real problem with depleted uranium. Our guest is Jerry Petterman. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-295. And we have Barbara calling. I think this is probably Barbara from Aptos, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I really hate to interrupt this discussion because it's fascinating. But the one thing, and we were always told, you know, we need to prepare for our power outage. But we should also, according to, I'm sorry, your guest.
Jerry.
We should be preparing for fires in our home at the same time and having, like, fire extinguishers available to put out these fires at the same time?
Yes, I would think so, yeah.
Okay, because, you know, everybody
would be wise. If everybody could be prepared like that, that would be wise. There's not much else we could do. The water pressure and the water hoses is going to be gone because the electric pumps that pump the water. We're not going to be able to fight the fires with our water hoses or anything. So unless we're, you know, down the hill from a large tank that's, you know, in the air, you'd have some water for a while, but that will never be replaced. So it's kind of a doomsday scenario.
And the thing is that people really aren't talking about so many of these things. Anything else, Barbara?
Well, this is the one thing that nobody has really talked about before. And you're talking about, you know, well, of course, you know, fire trucks aren't going to be able to probably be dispensed because they're not going to be able to start. So people really need to start to think about all of the various things that can happen with this. And I've never heard anybody mention the fires that could occur from this. And so it's very important for people to have, you know, fire extinguishers in their home. And obviously they are not going to, because they don't have the electronics, they are going to be useful in this kind of an event.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Anything else, Barbara?
No, thank you. That is just something I've never heard before, and I really appreciate him mentioning it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, fine. Well, that's just Barbara calling. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-295 if you have a question or comment. I think it's so vitally important people understand that there's a very real threat, and I personally believe that if we go to war with Iran, Iran is already making plans for an EMP attack on America. Well, it would be senseless. First of all, why in the world would we want to go to war with Iran? We put the people there. People have forgotten. We toppled the Shah in 1979. We installed the Ayatollahs. Everything's been done to make us believe that there are enemies and they're plotting against us. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we have our people planted at the highest level of that government and preparing for a war. But then, of course, during the Second World War, why Americans were working with the highest level of the Nazis, and after the Second World War, why, of course, the United States helped 50,000, between 10 and 50,000 Nazis escape to South America in the Rat Line. You don't have to believe what I say. Go up on the internet and just type in Rat Line. It was the CIA, MI6, and a satanic cell in the Vatican helped between 10 and 50,000 Nazi war criminals to escape to South America and brought well over 1,000 here to the United States to work on certainly building a new chemical, new biological weapons, mind control techniques, and, of course, our space program. Well, let's go to Nick, who's calling from Oregon. Hi, Nick. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, please. Did I understand, Jerry, to say that the depleted uranium projectiles are made from the spent rods from the nuclear power plants?
Yes. Yes,
we have depleted, it's called depleted uranium. Now, is that from the power plants or is that from the uranium that has actually taken the active uranium out and built the nuclear rods? That's where I thought where it came from.
From the rods. The rods are stored and they're still 30% radioactive and they're very heavy and very good to make projectiles. It's a great metal. Trouble is, it's hot.
Okay, I don't know anything at all about it, Nick. But this is what Jerry says. Anyway, I appreciate your calling, and God bless. And somebody called.
I wanted to mention something to you, Dr. Sam.
Well, let me just quickly mention that Eric from Compton wants to know when my booth will be open tomorrow there at the Long Beach Health Affair. It's at the Health Freedoms Expo, and I will be there from about noon to tomorrow, and I'll be there all Saturday and most of Sunday. So if you come to the Long Beach Convention Center, well, I would be glad to see Eric or anybody else. Go ahead. What were you going to say there, Jerry?
I worked for, I was 15 years old, and I was a tour guide in the boyhood home of LBJ. I worked on the ranch, and I saw all these various strange figures.
Hold that thought.
Okay.
Go right ahead, Jerry.
I had an opportunity to meet a lot of these individuals who were guests at the summer White House and came and went. And one young man was 27 years old at the time, 26, I guess, had black rim glasses and was the press secretary of LBJ. His name was Bill Moyers. And I got to know Bill there when I was a kid. And 10 years later, I was a television director in a public television station, and I worked for a gentleman by the name of Robert F. Schenken. And Robert Schenken was, at that time, head of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And I wanted to write a book similar to Bill Moyers' Listening to America. So I started interviewing a lot of people. And one of the people I decided to interview was Robert Schenken because he's head of Corporation Public Broadcasting. I think that's wonderful. So I got a two-hour interview, three separate sessions, total of 2 hours on tape. And I asked him very innocently because I just didn't know, what did you do before you were with the Corporation Public Broadcasting? And he said, well, my last position was president of the World Bank.
Well, they all fit in together, they don't they?
Oh, yes. And then he was talking about money, and he was talking about how it was so unfortunate that we lost President Kennedy. But he didn't understand the Federal Reserve System, and that if he'd been he would have continued his policies, quote, we wouldn't have been able to help all the other countries that we need to help with the World Bank.
Well, certainly, Jack Kennedy certainly was working against the Federal Reserve System. He wanted a silver-backed currency. He might have even gone for a gold-backed currency, and that could not be allowed, and I think that's one reason why what happened, it happened there in Dallas. I believe he was killed. There's no question at all that the Warren Commission, half of them were Masons, the other half came from the Council on Foreign Relations. The only person who really, on the Warren Commission, was an honest man, was Congressman Hill Boggs, and they killed him in an airplane crash. We've interviewed Nick Begich, whose father was on the airplane with Hale Boggs, Congressman Boggs. They knew where the plane was, and they refused to allow any rescue efforts to save Congressman Boggs. His punishment for disagreeing with the outcome of the Warren Commission. Hey, we're out of time. God bless. Thanks very much, Jerry. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly a fascinating interview. I really enjoyed it. I'm going to have to check on the background of the depleted uranium. I had always thought that the depleted uranium ammunition came from the uranium that they'd extracted U-23, I've forgotten what it is, but anyway, that they'd actually just taken part of the uranium out of it. But Jerry's probably knows more about that than I do, something I'm going to have to check on myself. Under any circumstances, this is the time when I'm going to have to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. And if you have any, if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters or subscribe to our newsletter or get the various items that we offer, anything that you could do, we'll appreciate your help because we want to maintain our network of over 50 stations a week as we reach out across America, educating people, and at least some people are learning what's going on and learning to understand the spiritual forces at work. Now, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. Certainly, you need to get our material, certainly on depleted uranium. We have a 4-tape set on depleted uranium illness, on Gulf War illness, which was certainly part and parcel of the Gulf War, of the depleted uranium problem. We actually have a 4-CD set on the assassination of Martin Luther King, a 4-CD set on the assassination of Bobby Kennedy, a couple of 4-tape sets on the assassination of Jack Kennedy. We have a four CD set on the USS Liberty, the American ship, intelligence gathering ship, that was attacked by the Israeli Air Force in 1967. But of course, it was really an American exercise. They wanted to kill all the soldiers there. They wanted to kill them so that they could basically then blame Egypt and they could attack President Nasser's Egypt. Unfortunately, why the Israeli planes didn't sink the ship. They could have sunk the ship. They didn't want to sink the ship. So they dropped their bombs and they missed the ship. And the ship survived. And the people on board were told if they ever revealed what happened that day, they'd spend the rest of their life in prison or worse. And they knew what they were talking about. They knew that they were going to be killed if they told the truth. And 20 or 30 years went by before most of the people on the USS Liberty had the courage to come forward and tell the truth. You can actually hear my interviews with them, certainly at radio, by my talk, our 4-CD set on the USS Liberty. We have a DVD put out by the survivors. We have another DVD put out in Great Britain. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. This is the information you need to get. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we hope that you'll, if you're in a position to join the Radio Liberty family or help us financially, that you will. And if you're not in a position to do it, please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, because, of course, this is what's kept us going. A lot of the other people have done what I've done are no longer here under one's guise or another. There have been lawsuits against them. They've been killed. Their families have been killed. I'm not talking imaginary, ladies and gentlemen. I've been at this for 50 years, and I've seen what's happened to people who've actually had the courage to speak out or Maybe the foolishness to speak out. Maybe it's better just to not do anything, just to sit back and enjoy good life and as long as you can. But ladies and gentlemen, for one reason or another, I'm doing what I'm doing and would appreciate your help and support. And we want you to tell others about our program. We want you to go to our website, RadioLiberty.com. RadioLiberty.com, where you can listen to our programs, our live programs 4 hours a day, our archive programs 24 hours a day. And you can hear us certainly on with an iPad, an iPhone, an Apple TV, all sorts of means. You can hear us simply on the telephone, the afternoon program. Again, our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And then we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. Pray for our but please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and protection. We're going to be away next tomorrow and till Monday. May the Lord be with you.
Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America, land that I beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above, from the mountain to the prairie to the ocean.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is Thursday. You're in the right place. It is the 28th of February, 2013. Thank you so much for joining us today, caring about your world, wanting to get involved in changing everything which needs to be changed, one act at a time. I say over and over again, we have the smartest, the most brilliant listeners anywhere. I dare say there is no one that can top the Power Hour listeners. Number one, for knowledge and content. Two, common sense. And three, for the actions that they are doing to save their country. And I do salute each and every one of you. Thank you so very much for joining us today on the Power Hour. The Power Hour is powered, generator-powered Power Hour, still out of energy is still out of electricity here in mid-Missouri, but that's okay. You know, we can deal with that. We've been talking about this for years. This kind of thing is going to happen. I was talking to my brother last night, and he says, you know, the EMP issue is becoming bigger and bigger.